This is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of September 3rd, 2023. It's Labor Day, a long weekend. The message is entitled Wisdom at Work. Wisdom at Work from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 to 11. The call to worship is from Psalm 57, 7 to 10, from the Christian Standard Bible. My heart is confident, O God, my heart is confident. I will sing praises. Wake up, my soul, wake up, heart and lyre. I will wake up the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your faithful love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches the clouds. Amen. We've been looking at Proverbs, and we've seen that wisdom is not about how much knowledge you have stuffed into your head. Some of the wisest people I've ever known never finished the equivalent of junior high. That wasn't because they did not have the ability. Some lacked the opportunity. Others felt there was more important matters to attend to, like helping to support their families, or others were fleeing dangerous situations. Wisdom involves applying godly knowledge, what you've learned and seen working, in ways that honor God and promote those things that God has commanded us to be doing. Wisdom starts on the inside, yet becomes visible in our day-to-day decisions. Today, being Labor Day Sunday, we are going to consider Proverbs' wisdom regarding work, and it has much to say about that. Proverbs 24, verse 30 to 34 from the New Living Translation says, I walk by the field of a lazy person, the vineyard of one with no common sense. I saw that it was overgrown with nettles. It was covered with weeds, and its walls were broken down. Then, as I looked and thought about it, I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. The slide from a functioning vineyard to a weed-covered rubble occurred one delayed moment, one delayed day, one month after another. Eventually, it became too much trouble to bother with. We can see in this proverb that one of the traits of a wise person is that they pay attention and learn from life, especially noting the consequences of actions. In other words, the wise learn from the experiences of others, not only from their own, but the wise learn from the experience of others, rather than the fool who says, yes, but that won't happen to me. The father figure in Proverbs wants his children to learn that consistency and effort in work will bring benefits throughout their life. Yet, he doesn't expect them to just take his word for it. He calls them to observe how life works. In Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 11, he uses the little ant as an example of the value of discipline and hard work, and what children have not stopped to watch an ant at work. Most of us have. And he uses the ant as an example of the value of discipline and hard work, finishing with the same ode to procrastination that we saw in Proverbs 24, 33 and 34. Proverbs 6:6-11 says, "Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor to rule or to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like abandon. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber." We are being called to learn common sense from the ant, without the need of prodding from a manager or a boss. The ant understands the value of hard work by preparing for the coming winter. The lazy person, on the other hand, lacks initiative, prioritizes comfort, procrastinates, and ends up with nothing. At the very time, hard work would produce the greatest rewards. It's not that the person who enjoys leisure doesn't want a better life. They just don't want to follow the ant's example. Proverbs 13:4 says, "Lazy people want much, but get little. But those who work hard will prosper." And Proverbs 21:25 says, "Despite their desires, the lazy will come to ruin, for their hands refuse to work." It's not that they don't want a better life. They just don't want to put the effort into it. In the commentary, Opening Up Proverbs, the writer says, "God disciplines sluggards by allowing them to experience the consequences of their folly, with the desire that they will learn wisdom through their poverty. A worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on," Proverbs 16:26 says. You subvert God's purpose and ultimately hurt the sluggard by enabling his sin. The same issue is raised in the New Testament when Paul says, "If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either," in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Sluggards who live off the labor of others are thieves. This is what Proverbs 20 verse 4 says, and what we essentially read in Ephesians 4:28. Old covenant charity was given to the deserving poor, who generally had to work for what they received, as in the case of Ruth, who gleaned in Ruth chapter 2. That's the end of the quotation from Opening Up Proverbs. The writer here is saying that God uses the results of not working hard, not working diligently, to try to teach that individual that there's a better way. And it is interesting that God was and still is very concerned for the poor. In the Old Testament, we see he told those who owned farms and vineyards not to glean every last thing, to leave some crop around the outside, not to go over the vineyards a second time. If you didn't get it all the first time, you leave it there for the animals and for those, the poor. And then they would go and glean. Interesting. Now, the wise father of Proverbs wants his children to realize that hard work is not bad. As you work to provide for your family, you also earn respect for your efforts, I think internally, as well as those who are watching. Proverbs 22:29 calls us to observe people who are good at their work. Skilled workers are always in demand and admired. They don't take a back seat to anyone. That's the Message translation. The Good News Bible translates this passage, that's Proverbs 22:29, as, "Show me someone who does a good job, and I will show you someone who is better than most and worthy of the company of kings." There's a story of a young fellow who was overheard making a phone call. And the phone call was, "Hello, sir. Could you use a hard-working, honest young man to work for you?" After a pause, while he was listening, you could hear him say, "Oh, you've already got a hard-working, honest young man. Well, thanks anyway." And he hung up. Now, the onlooker was so taken aback by the young man's cheerful attitude after he'd hung up that he had to say, "How can you be so cheery? I thought the person you were talking to on the phone told you they already had someone and didn't want to hire you. So what's with the smile?" The young fellow answered, "Well, you see, I am the hardworking young man. I was just checking up on my job." And then the question is asked, "If you called your boss, disguised your voice, and asked about your job, what do you think would be your boss's answer?" Now, as important as a healthy attitude towards work is, it's important that work does not become your sole focus. You must maintain balance. You must maintain balance. Your work must be placed under God's lordship. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "Wisdom begins with respect for the Lord, and understanding begins with knowing the Holy One." That's the foundation, a relationship with God. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, "Depend on the Lord in whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." Your plans need to be developed around your relationship and your dependence upon the Lord. Don't use work to become independent of God. Use work to benefit what God has asked you to do, to provide for yourself, for your family, for His ministries. As you place your work under the lordship of Almighty God, see Him as your true boss. He is the one you're working for. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 24, Paul addresses this idea of working for the Lord. But amazingly, he is talking to slaves. Now, if the Apostle Paul could expect Christian slaves to adopt this mindset, then we who are paid or volunteers must choose this attitude as well. This is what Paul writes in Colossians 3, 22 to 24, and I'm quoting from the Contemporary English Version here. "Slaves," Paul says, "you must always obey your earthly masters. Try to please them at all times, and not just when you think they are watching. Honor the Lord and serve your masters with your whole heart. Do your work willingly, as though you were serving the Lord Himself and not just your earthly master. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one you are really serving, and you know that He will reward you." Amen. Do you have this attitude towards what you are doing? Your work, either what you're paid for or what you volunteered to do you do it willingly? Not just when people are watching so you can impress, but do you do it as if you were serving the Lord Himself? Because Paul says that you really are. You're representing Him. our lives, including our work, is an opportunity to glorify God through what we do and say. This is what Jesus said as part of his Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 from Matthew, verse 16, and 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 12. Today, many of us are gathering to remember communion, the extraordinary, undeserved gift which our Lord Jesus Christ gave us in coming, not for what he could get out of life, but to give his life for ours. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus understood why he came. His work was important to him, and he did so to bring honor to the Father. And as he obeyed his Father, the Father glorified him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you willingly came to serve, and you gave your life as a ransom. Lord, I pray that you will help us to have wisdom in our work. Not to dream about something bigger and grander, to be happy with where you've placed us, to seek to understand the mission you have for us now, and to honor you in what we do. Amen. Now, let me close with a benediction from 1 Corinthians 15, 56 to 58. The Apostle Paul writes, "Death's power to hurt is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But we thank God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, dear brothers and sisters, stand strong. Do not let anything move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your work in the Lord is never wasted." Amen. Work for his honor and glory. Thank you for joining us today. Lord bless you. Goodbye.